Welcome to the Own Your Hustle podcast. My name is Ruby Lee. I'm a side hustle coach, entrepreneur, and all the energy you need to turn your idea into freedom. Here's a little something about me. I was once nearly fired for having a side hustle, and today I dedicate my life and business to enabling early stage entrepreneurs everywhere to create options in their career and abundance on their own terms, some while still balancing a day job. Side hustlers are the future of work, and I am unapologetic for our ambition. From working through your 100 ideas to creating a successful sideline business, I'll share my own experiences, practical tips, and help you crush through those mindset blockers. So if you're ready, I'm ready. Let's get started. Hey, Own Your Hustle family. I am recording this right now in New Plymouth, New Zealand. It is so amazing here. Go and check out my stories because I have been showing you guys the incredible scenery that is around me. And there has just been such an incredible feeling being able to finally just travel the world, take my coaching business with me, and see it absolutely thrive. The more I travel, the more fun I have, the more playfulness I invite into my business, the more success I am seeing. And I speak all about this in Code Your Coaching Practice for Purpose, Profit, and Play. That is my free 5-part series that I have just run in the Own Your Hustle Facebook group. I'm going to link the link to the 5 videos below if you want to go and sign up. Absolutely free, over 5+ hours to help you get your coaching practice all up and running to become a profitable and purposeful coach. And off the back of that, we are currently right in the middle of the launch for Blaze. It is the second time I've ever run it. We have almost 20 registrations already, and we start in about 2 days. So if you're interested to join for the 4 weeks together, this course is really made for the early stage coach. So if you are brand new to coaching and you're wondering how to start, what tech stuff to use, also how to create a course, and also how to do things like how do you set up your social media? How do you find your first clients? What do you actually need to do to create that traction and that energy behind your business that you know deserves a lot more attention right now? So go and check out Blaze. All the links are going to be below. And today I'm going to be sitting down with an incredible client and Own Your Hustle family member, Alan Borge. Now, Alan actually did the first round of Blaze, and since doing that, I have watched his coaching practice go from strength to strength. It has been absolutely amazing. And he has such a unique niche and look on how to actually create a success in his own side hustle. When we recorded this, he only just took the side hustle to main hustle leap. And I named this podcast The Discipline and the Drive Behind Building a Side Hustle, because if you guys need a kick up the ass with anything to do with habits and staying on track and staying accountable, this podcast is definitely for you. We discuss leadership in the new age, creating strong disciplines of success, the power of journaling, and what Alan has called in. It's actually really incredible. And how he's managed to step into the limelight, get this, even as an extreme introvert. So for those of you guys out there going, I don't know how to show up like you do, I'm such an introvert, well now, this is the episode for you. So without further ado, let's jump into this episode with Alan. Enjoy, you guys, sit back. It is such a good one. I absolutely love highlighting voices of the tribe, and Alan is definitely here to bring the goods. So let's jump straight in.
Alan and I have known each other, I think, for almost like 6+ months now. We came across each other online. I've had the privilege of working with Alan, seeing Alan just absolutely blow up online with his epic video presence. So I want to really bring that to life today for you guys. And Alan's such a really quite unique coach. And I know some of you who follow onto the podcast, your career coaches, your resume coaches, this sort of coaching is something that really caught my eye. And Alan is a restaurant leadership coach, really helping teams exceed expectations by creating the right culture for high performing teams. So if that hasn't already caught your ears and you've gone, what? This is so interesting. Well, tune in because this is going to be an awesome episode. And Alan, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today.
It's an absolute pleasure to finally be here. There's been a few hiccups trying to get on, but I finally got in here today, which I'm pumped.
We did it. And it's always this thing when there's reschedules and all of that, and I know you've got a busy flight schedule and all of that, it's like the right timing is always going to bring out the best podcast interview. That's my belief.
I like it.
So tell the audience a little bit about what you do and expand a little bit more about what I've just said about you being a restaurant leadership coach and, what you do now full-time.
Yeah, sounds great. Good intro. Loved it. Makes me sound very good. I've got my chest puffed right out now. Look, so basically I really help the restaurant owners, some franchise, some just family-owned, just really help them understand not their business side aspect, but just the people relationship and the understanding of this day-to-day problems and the stuff that just happens and how to, I guess, get your team on board to work with you rather than them just telling them what to do. So, and that involves having a good culture. We've all worked with people that we hate. How do you manage that? But just really giving the ownership and the power to the owners. If they've got a problem, they can fix it. And that's where I can help them shine the light on those little relationship issues that they have with their people.
Mm. And where did this all come from? Was there a certain instance that happened to you or in a business you'd worked for that you thought, you know what, I could really do this and take this like in my own stride?
I guess it really came about. I loved having... When my big boss used to come in when I was 16, 17, he used to take the time to talk to me just to really help me. I really loved that time. Other people would just hate their boss sending them for a performance review. I'd love it because that was just my one-on-one time with them to tell me what I'm doing wrong and how to get better. And I could spend hours. And now it sort of came about to now. I'm 34 years old. And I love doing the same. I can go hours and hours and hours just talking to owners or people just about how they're performing, where they need to improve. And I just love it. I can get lost in it. I have to set timers and alarms for myself during the meeting so I don't go overboard because otherwise I go into 3 hours and I've got to limit it. So that's a problem that I'm working on myself. But I just love connecting. And the feeling, I call it the Walt Disney moment that I have when I connect with somebody in a meaningful way and they actually get something. And I love that. That's a drug for me, that feeling that you get from connecting and the energy between two people. Love it.
Oh my gosh. And I have to say, I totally relate to that feeling of when your boss goes, oh, come on in, let's have a chat. The first thing you want to think about is, what have I done wrong? You start going through and replaying the entire month before that you caught up and you're thinking, oh my God, shit, what's gone? Like, why are they wanting to chat to me? And the occasional times when it's actually just a get to know you, let's like connect conversation, it changes the whole game. You know, your whole lens on how you view a business, how you view a leader is totally different, right? And I definitely see that quality in you.
100%. No, couldn't agree more. It's no more of these having these yearly performance review or monthly. It's, hey, every day you work with somebody, you've got to give him some sort of feedback or some, whether it's positive or constructive, just connecting. Hey, how's your partner going? Hey, I heard your dog died. I'm sorry. Condolences. But just other than just the work-related stuff, you're dealing with human beings. So let's act human and engage human, not just because you're in a work environment. Doesn't mean that we're going to leave that human, that personality side out of it. It just doesn't happen anymore.
That's right. And especially in the, you know, the field and the industry you're in, being in restaurant, in hospitality, there's so much human connection at the heart of everything, right, that you do. And yet what's really interesting, and maybe this is just an outsider perspective, and, happy for you to shine some light on it, is that, you know, it seems like a lot of restaurant owners struggle to keep good people. You know, it's such a, you know, real transactionary type of employee-employer relationship. You know, when you're growing up in Australia anyway, most of the jobs that you have when you're at university or when you're, you know, in between life stages is you're either in hospitality or you're in retail. So it's like a lot of the questions, you know, when you're like 19, 20, 21, it's like, hey, are you in hospo or are you in retail? You know, it's
like, yeah, that's right.
Right. Like, so that's what you do, right? Like you help, you know, your restaurant owners create those cultures so they do have like a longer tenure with their staff and they become more family-like.
Correct, yes. And look, in hospitality is always known for its short tenure with people, and that's the same conversations that I have with the owners. Oh, they don't care, they've got part, they're only part-time or casual, they've got uni stuff. Mm. That still doesn't matter. You have decided to employ that person in your team. So you've got to treat it like your own kids. You've got to teach them how to mop, teach them how to their manners. You've got to teach them. There's a lot of like growing your own kids. That's literally what it is. And if you change your mindset of, oh, this guy's only going to be with you for 6 months, this is all bullshit, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Well, of course you're not going to have an engaged team because you're already thinking like that as an owner. So it's not about that. It's getting on a deeper level, connecting with people, caring about them, listening to the problems that they have outside of work, because gone are the days that leave your personal shit at the door. It just doesn't happen.
You've got to,
it still happens to this day, but if you want to be successful, I believe in any workplace as a leader, you've got to welcome that and you've got to listen to that, as draining as it can be. That's part of the parcel. And if you don't want it, then you shouldn't be have a group of people or lead people. It's just,
you should be a people leader. Exactly. Right. Exactly right. And that's where it comes down to, you know, you're either just like a manager or a project manager and you, you know, push resources around and whatnot versus being a true people leader, that real caring aspect behind it as well. So you've hit the nail on the head. One thing that I think this audience is going to love to hear is your side hustle to main hustle leap story. So that's very recent, right?
Yes, what's it been? Probably 6 weeks, 8 weeks around there, yes.
Hello. So take us back. When did you recognize that this is what you had to do, that you just could not like not go full time into it anymore? And how has that last 6 to 8 weeks been for you?
So it's actually been since 2015, I've been indulging in a side hustle. You know, we're in 2019 now, so it's always been a vision. It's still working in progress, et cetera, et cetera. And then I just, I was pretty much pushed out of my previous job. I was made redundant for the first time. And I guess that was sort of like the push that I needed to, well, hey, it's like all or nothing now. It's either get another job or let's venture into this side hustle and make it the main hustle. And I just saw it as an opportunity. I always say to everybody, things happen for a reason, especially to good people, which I believe I am. So I said, hey, let's see how this works. And yeah, it took the leap and it's still scary AF, but it's part of the parcel. It's part of it. So,
What has been the scariest part about it?
Well, I mean, like most people, I started at Hungry Jack's when I was 15 till recently, you get money, right? Consistently coming in, you work good and you don't even have to work that good. For most people, you can just get by and you still get paid. But I'm not saying that I was doing that, but it's that reassurance, right? We've grown up for years on years on years and just, you know, you work, you get the money. Pay the bills, go out, go to holidays, have a good time. Now it's shit. If I don't continue to be focused, driven, disciplined, I'm not going to have that reoccurrence. So that in itself is like the boss telling me, hey, Alan, get your finger out. And if you don't get it out, then you're going to be going back to share accommodation with your partner. And you know what that was like, and it's shit, and you don't want to go back. So,
It's funny, isn't it, when you think about the worst case scenario, what would that look like? I think all of us have done this in terms of the side hustle shift. Like one of my other clients I was speaking to, she was saying, oh, God, the worst case is that I have to move back with my parents. You know, and she's got like kids and all of that as well.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, it's one of those things where you almost have to take your brain through those logical steps financially, what's going to happen from a resourcing perspective. And then something happens. You just shift into gear and you go, right, roll those sleeves up. It's time to go. And everything starts to fall into place. But I love that you used the word discipline, because this is something that I really observe of you. You guys, if you don't follow Alan on Instagram, his link is in the show notes below. So go and check it out. Especially what you will find is Alan's stories. They are fascinating. I freaking love your stories, Alan, because you can almost guarantee this sense of real discipline, of drive, of pushing for what you want, right? And I have to share. So lately, I've noticed that Alan's got a very interesting routine that's come to pass, and it is getting up at, is it 3 a.m.?
3:25
a.m. So I've just recognized Alan now as just the habits king, right? Talking about strong habits of success. You are the king of it. Tell us a little bit about what your weekly discipline habit looks like.
Well, pretty much 6 days of the week, it's getting up at 3:25 a.m. The purpose of why I even started that was because of the side hustle. You know, we all get 24 hours in a day. How with my full-time job, which often led to 10 hours a day, I needed to make the time. And that, the best time for me was during the morning. So it was just getting up earlier, just that. Then I found out about meditating and journaling from you. And I said, well, this is being done by successful business people who are actually literally have businesses or multiple businesses, and they're doing it. So if they're all doing it, then there's got to be a reason to do it. So I wanted to implement that. So the 3:25 a.m. start was great. So I wake up, have my first breakfast, in the gym at 4, finish the gym at 5, shower, have my second breakfast, meditate, journal, and then by 7 o'clock, I'm working from 7, 8, 9 o'clock for 2 hours. I'm working on business development. And then 9 o'clock is when I start my day, well, my second day, because my first morning is my first day. And like I said to you before, the second day is the my 9 to 5, so to speak, which I'm working on now. That's when I start my day. And I just get so much more done in those hours. So 9 o'clock, while the rest of the world is probably just getting started, I've just hammered out what most people do probably in a day.
That's it. Oh, wow. You know, and I remember Alan was in one of my courses and I had a late training. It started at 9 p.m. or something. And Alan's like, Ruby, you're killing me. I was like, what time do you go to bed?
That's true. So again, sticking back in, well, hey, how do you get up at 3:25 in the morning? I don't go to bed at 11 or 12 at night. I've always been a late night person, loved it. I love watching movies. It's like my go-to, love it. However, I had to give that up, especially with Netflix being introduced to the world, even harder. But now I go to bed at 8 p.m. So I had one of my managers said, Alan, you know you go to bed the same time as my six-year-old nephews. I was like, yeah, I know.
It's like, yeah, but this is it. You know, I love this because for me, it's my belief system as well. You get up before everybody else or you go to bed after everybody else. Like if you're really truthfully wanting to make the time, then there are small incremental things that you can do. I mean, what you've done here is that you've effectively created a second day. And, you know, I like that you've recognized that the mornings are really good for you because that's where you're most productive, where you're most clear. That is awesome. Now, I have to say, one of the things that I've really noticed with the tribe, like the Own Your Hustle tribe, is I tend to get a lot of questions from guys about whether journaling is for them. And it's quite interesting because I never thought of it as masculine, or I never thought about it as feminine. But I suppose in terms of how we grow up, girls tend to really journal, like from quite an early age, right? You know, you've the sparkly diaries and all of that. But, you know, it's an interesting kind of phase that I think we're all going through, especially when you break into entrepreneurship, that journaling really, really is the focus of the mind, you know, and you can speak things to life. You can clear out some, you know, shitty beliefs and all those things. Mm. When you started journaling, I'd love to hear from a, you know, a very masculine perspective, what do you get from journaling, and what do you typically kind of write about from a general perspective?
Yeah, look, it's, and I also had seen it as, hey, this is a feminine thing to do. Maybe just thinking very guy-like, you know, and pursuing. And I see, and I can certainly see that because I post that on my stories, and I'm sure that other guys out there going, what the hell is Alan journaling about? He's such a girl. That's just people thinking old school. So really, I just don't give a shit what people think. So what I journal is based a lot of things on what you said, is my intentions for my life, the week, the day. I guess it's not really goals, but things that I want to come to me, whether it's meet the right people, meet good people, or make sure that I'm providing the things that I need to providing for my team. There's multiple things that I journal about, but it's just literally, I guess it's another form of me, like goal setting. You're sort of bringing something that you can see in the future and putting it down on paper, just from mind to paper, is just something about that connection. It's just you're making it come to life. And everything, I kid you not, even to my beautiful partner, Angela, that I have today, everything that I've written down has come true, absolutely everything. I specifically said I would like to be in a relationship with a South American girl with dark hair who is super hot. And what do you know? This is what I have.
Did you guys hear that? That is amazing. I just got goosebumps. Oh my gosh. At what stage did you tell Ange that you basically manifested her?
I think I told her a while ago. We were together for 10 years we've been together. So
wow.
years ago. So it's, but just jobs, the amount of money I want. If it works once or twice, then shit, imagine all the other things that you can come to life. And that's why I've never stopped doing it. I hate writing. I'm not a very neat writer. Like, I don't like to do it, but I do it anyway because it's going to get me the results that I want because I've gotten it in the past. And I'm not saying it happens that day. It's taken weeks, months, years.
Mm.
But it keeps me focused as well.
Wow, I just really love this. And for you guys that are listening to this, I think this is such an interesting perspective because it's not just, you know, a feminine energy or a masculine energy. It really just comes down to, yes, it's like a deeper level of goal setting because it dives into the intention behind the goals that you want. So if you're just writing down goals like, oh, I want an extra, you know, $5,000 this month, well, that's all well and good. But when you dive into journaling, you start to really look into the why, into the impact you want to have on this world. And then you start calling in the people that can provide you that, or you start calling in the ideas, like some of the most incredible programs that I've launched or the money-making ideas that's come to me has been through journaling. It's just been through sitting down for 10 minutes a day. And then it just is as clear as day. It's like, oh, you know, launch this or do an hour of power. You know, there'll be people out there who'll want that. Or, you know, whatever I've, you know, launched in the past couple of months and years, and I'm sure you've found the same things, like things become so clear to you.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, couldn't agree more. And that's the thing, is about making it clear and just getting it out of your head and putting it on paper because you can have, I have it on my desk where I see it every single day, so there's no excuse for not happening it, making it happen. But, yeah, it just keeps me realigned, refocused. Oh, what was my intention for this week? Did I do it? No. What do I need to improve on? It's a good thing to keep me focused.
So what does your partner think about your routine? And I suppose, you know, it's really a lifestyle. It's a decision that you make for yourself, but I'm sure also impacts on not just your partner, but your family and, you know, friends, all of that. How has it really been accepted in your inner circle?
Yeah, look, it's I purposely keep my inner circle with the right people. And if that means less people, then so be it. And that's what it is. Angela, my partner, she wasn't into the fitness stuff, the health stuff, getting up early stuff. I was waking her up. But I think you, when you're with your partner or a close friend, you rub off on one another.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever the strongest force is, will the other person will probably tend to pick it up. And that's what's happened. Now, I didn't make Angela to get up early, eat healthy, go to the gym, but that's what she's started to do. Now she's loving it. Now she's got her own side hustle as well.
Yes.
And she wakes up early with me and we wake up together. It's very easier. It's very easy when you've got somebody with you. But I did this about a year, 2 years with that crazy routine without her. So there's no excuse why I couldn't do it. It was just entirely up to me to do it or not. I guess the main thing is to not have anybody who thinks, because we do have friends, why do you get up so early? That's crazy. You can't even go out on the weekends. Well, that's true. I can't go stay out late because I choose not to. It doesn't happen every weekend. Of course, we go out, have fun, watch a movie and all that sort of stuff. But it's about knowing when you want to do that and the discipline of saying, no, I've got to do this week or this month. So yeah, it's just about being very self-aware of what you want and going, knowing where that line is and cross it over whenever you know it's the right thing to do. So just being honest with yourself.
Yeah, you've just touched on so many things that I know side hustles will really resonate with, because as you start to change and shift your lifestyle, you'll get noticed by, of course, those around you that love you and want to support you. But it's the questioning, right, that sometimes it's not just the questioning of, what do you mean you're leaving your day job? Or what do you mean you're starting a business? But it's, what do you mean you're just doing life so differently to us? And that's really what it is, because once again, when you're making time, you're finding time for your purpose. It doesn't look like the normal way of doing life. You know, if you're trying to fit a side hustle into the normal way of doing life, you will struggle. Like, it just doesn't work that way. But by having these conversations with you, Alan, and bringing that to life, it shows others out there that, hey, there is like a whole other contingent of people, a tribe that's doing what you're doing, and it's totally accepted. And it's actually just like actually inspirational to hear this from you. So thank you so much for sharing that. And you know, you guys, if you're interested, like, just hit Alan up. He's so awesome on the DM on Instagram, and go and follow him from a real leadership and inspirational perspective as well. One of the questions that I have for you is, you know, looking at you, you just come across as really bold and very resilient. You know, you're kind of just like, shit happens and we'll just make it work. What has been, I guess, one of the challenges that you faced in starting a business, in growing a brand for yourself? And, you know, how did you overcome moments that, you know, at the time really sucked?
Yeah, look, I guess the biggest thing for me is I'm a massive, and this is going to sound completely crazy after everything I've just said up until now, that I'm a massive introvert. I have a lot of introverted tendencies, and I really just didn't like connecting with people. I didn't. And it goes everything that I say, ever since from a young age, the fact that I was put into hospitality and working at Hungry Jack's from day dot, I guess allowed me to start doing the things that I wasn't comfortable in doing. And just by repetition, you just get better at it. But still to this day, I still get awkward meeting new people. I still get, find things, or what am I going to say, or keep a conversation. It's still awkward, right? But I know that if I don't change my habits, I'm going to keep getting those same results and feel those awkward tendencies. So I've got to do new habits. I've got to do new actions. And that will automatically mean I'm just always going to get new results. It may not be the new results that I've wanted, but it's going to be an improvement than what I'm currently doing. So doing videos, my very first video I did was just a simple introduction saying, hey, who I am, this is what I do, and this is my journey. Literally a 60-second video. It took me 64 times to make it.
How many times?
64 times. And yes, you could see I'm a perfectionist and all this sort of crap. At the end of the day, I was thinking, what are other people going to say? Just like everybody else thinks. It's not a fear of public speaking like people have. It's a fear of, well, what are people going to think about? Mm-hmm. That's the real fear, not the public speaking part. But anyway, so how do I get over the fear of the video and people thinking? It's just doing it over and over and over again. Just do it like Nike says. Yes, it's easy said than done, but the biggest part, like, I don't like going to the gym at 4 a.m. I don't. I still don't. I've been doing it for the last 2 years. I don't like it. But I do it anyway because it's just like brushing my teeth. Nobody loves to brush their teeth, but you do it anyway to keep your teeth clean, maintained, and it's just a thing you do. So that's the way I think about the gym. I don't love it, but I know if I keep doing it, I'll be strong, I'll have more energy to do my work, I'll be focused. So it's about having the discipline to do the things that you know you should be doing and you don't feel like doing it, but you do it anyway. That is like a key mind shift, a light bulb, whatever you want to call it, was for me in terms of a side hustle.
Like that's so powerful. And I think just thank you for sharing that really raw behind the scenes moment, like 64 times of filming your intro video. That's real. I think a lot of people will see your stuff though, Alan, especially with your LinkedIn videos, and you kill it. You just kill it, dude. You are so good. And I'm sure people will be going, oh, he's just such a natural and he must be such an introvert, you know? And I remember meeting you at the event I hosted, and I'm sure I said it, but everybody else that was there, because, you know, we all follow each other and it's like everyone kind of knows each other just through online, which is awesome. But I'm sure everyone flocked to you and said, oh my gosh, like, because you said, oh, I'm actually a real introvert, I don't do these things. And I heard, like, you know, three or four of the others go, what, really? You know, because you're just so personable as well. Not to say introverts aren't, but you just come across that way. It's your personal brand.
Yeah, of course. And it's about being honest. I don't call it being an introvert, again, being labeled. I heard somebody say introverted tendencies. I think that's good because, yes, I do have tendencies. But just when I get in front of the video, just like, or in front of the camera, or when you're speaking on stage, when you're talking about something that you just love and you're confident about, that's when my energy comes out, and that's what you see on the video. Mm. But when I meet somebody for the first time, I don't feel that, you know, that energy when you just meet somebody, you sort of, oh, do I like this person or not? I mean, just like everybody feels, you just feel awkward, don't know what to say. That still happens to me today. But it's about still doing it regardless you don't feel like it or don't want to do it. You just do it anyway, because once you do it, you think, oh, okay, it wasn't so bad. Always, the amount of times that you think about, oh, what if this, what if that, all the assumptions. And when you do it, it's like a piece of cake. Like, what was I freaking out about?
Yeah, I feel like that whenever I go live, any of my lives, and I've actually thought many times, I'm just going to end the live halfway through because I feel awkward. I'm like, surely no one will notice. There's only like 7 people online. It's fine. I'll just cut the live stream and say it was the internet. And I'm like, no, just do it. Just show up. You have a message to share. And ultimately, you know, when you think it's not actually about you, it's about them. It's about the message. It's about the purpose. You know, and suddenly it just, you get to detach from all those like fear voices. You know, what are people going to think? Or what if I'm not good enough? You know, it's not about you, you know? So question I always ask everyone on the podcast is, what does the term own your hustle mean to you?
For me, it's massive ownership. Like, everything that happens in my life is because of me. It's just, if I'm not happy in my job, what am I going to do about it? I can piss and moan, but that's not going to get me anywhere. It's just about massive ownership, like own your hustle, like take ownership. If you want to have a side hustle, then what are you doing about it every single day? Yes, you've got the kids. Yes, you've got other commitments. Now it's time to make new habits, because if you keep doing the old habits, of course you don't have time. You just need somebody to show you, hey, you've got so many minutes in a day. You just got to use those minutes effectively or differently to how you're doing it by having massive ownership. I can't get over the create the new habits to get new results because we feel frustrated or annoyed that there's not enough time of the day, which I always call bullshit on every single time.
Yeah.
It's bullshit. There is plenty of time. You're just not looking at you haven't budgeted your time in a day. Use budgeting, just going a little bit off topic possibly, but just budgeting your money. You know, you spend a certain amount of money, you save a certain amount of money. But if you don't know, if you don't budget it, same with what you're eating. If you eat a certain amount of stuff the right way and go to the gym, then you're going to get the results. It's just guaranteed because you're measuring it, you're budgeting it. And your time, you've got 24 hours in a day. What are you doing? How are you budgeting that? If you don't take note of what you're doing every single minute of your day, then of course you don't know where you can find the time. You just
yes.
got to make the time. So owning your hustle means owning your time as well. That's the biggest thing for me because that's one of the number one excuses that I get for when working in restaurants is I don't have time to have a 30-minute conversation with your team. Bullshit. Mm. You just haven't made the time and you filled in your time with all the other stuff that you generally always do and you haven't had a 30,000 view from top down looking at your day and saying, hey, do I really need to be doing this now? Could I just give this to somebody else to do so allow me to free up some time? There is just so much time, to do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've had many a conversation with people online who will say, I really want to start a side hustle, Rubes, but by the time I get to the end of the day, I'm so tired. All I want to do is watch Netflix. And I'm like, ding, 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 ding. There's the time. But
yeah.
It will just be about the energy that you get behind it. Because ultimately, if you are so passionate about something, the energy comes with that. It's like hand in hand. So it's not a time problem. You know, it's often it's a connection to purpose. It's a real belief in that thing that you think you want to do. Maybe there's something in there. Maybe it's not quite the thing. So it's almost taking a step back, and looking at that from a different point of view. So, I've loved this chat, Alan. I could just keep talking to you because you're awesome. If you guys do want to carry on this conversation with Alan and meet him online, where do we find you? How do we stalk you? Where do we get inspired by you?
So you can find me at Alan Borges A to B, as in the letter A, number 2B, Alan Borges A to B, on Instagram, LinkedIn, and Facebook. I'm always on Instagram, especially on stories, and as you said before. But I'm also doing some business things on LinkedIn as well. But yeah, Instagram or Facebook, LinkedIn, either one.
Awesome. I'm going to leave all of Alan's links in the show notes. Thank you so much, Alan. You're such a legend for joining me on the podcast today.
Thank you, Ruby.
And I appreciate you.
As do I. Thank you so much for taking the time and asking me these questions. And I hope that there's some value for your listeners to take out to this. And by all means, if you have any questions, then reach out. Happy to help.
Absolutely. Tag us on Insta, you guys, and let us know. Thanks, Alan.
Awesome.
How cool is Alan? Seriously, he is such a dude. I'm going to leave his Instagram handle in the show notes below. Tag us both in this Instagram episode if you enjoyed it. And whilst you're there, do not forget to check out Blaze. It might just be the very thing you need to get your coaching practice up and running. The links are in the show notes below. I hope you have an amazing day and evening, whatever you are up to. And remember, you can absolutely own your hustle.